gospel to others. But we must all have the boldness that it takes to speak, to stand up for what we believe in, and not stand idly by while those around us continue in sin and in darkness. God's speakers throughout the New Testament have exercised and encouraged boldness in the first century, and now we have their examples before us that we may look to them and seek the boldness that we need to speak in today's age. First, let's talk about what boldness is and what it means to have boldness or to be bold. Modern dictionaries would describe boldness as willingness to take risks, act innovatively, and to have confidence or courage. Between the Greek words used in the New Testament and even the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, we get a clear picture as to what boldness is. The Greek word most commonly used, I'm going to butcher this, parrhesia, which according to Strong's translates to all outspokenness, that is frankness, bluntness, and publicity. By implication, assurance. There is also thoreo, meaning to have confidence, to be confident, and talmao, meaning to be courageous. Looking at all these together, especially when we consider boldness in speaking the word of God, it is boldness and having courage and confidence, especially in regard to speech and belief. Describing someone as being bold or having boldness gives us the idea that this person knows what they believe, and even more, why they believe it. They're also willing to stand up for their beliefs, to be bold and to be unwavering in your personal beliefs. That when confronted and asked about said beliefs, we'll be really ready and willing to stand our ground, willing to give the defense that we need to give, without doubting or worrying. To be bold is a quality that all should seek to have in every aspect of our beliefs. People don't tend to listen to those who don't seem to know what they're talking about, much less if they do not truly believe, or if that belief is not clearly evident in their life. And as Christians, we must recognize why we need this boldness. We all have a duty given to us by Christ to preach the gospel to all the world. This was given when he was ascending into the heavens. Looking in Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter of Matthew, in verses 19 and 20, he speaks to his disciples there and says to them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And again, he would say in the Gospel of Mark, reading verses 16, verses 15 and 16. This account reads, "To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And these signs, to teach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, was the task given unto all who followed Christ before he ascended. And it began with the apostles there on that day. Before he ascended, he gave that command to them. As the word spread and disciples were made, others began to teach until the disciples were all over the face of Judea and Samaria and the rest of the world. And now the same responsibility given to us by Christ falls to us because we are the disciples now. The apostles of old are all dead and gone, but who's going to preach the word today? It needs to be each and every one of us, brethren. We must teach what we have learned to those all around us and to those far and wide who have not come to a knowledge of Him. And we need this boldness to do this because not everyone will listen. Despite this, we still must preach. Consider what God tells Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 2. Turn back to the Old Testament, to Ezekiel chapter 2. Here we read in this passage, God sending Ezekiel to the stubborn nation. Verse 3 of Ezekiel chapter 2, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. So God tells Ezekiel that those to whom he's being sent will not listen. But he told them to go and speak anyway. Today, this is what we face, because we live in a world very much rebellious like that. Everyone out of this world wants to do anything and everything that they so desire without considering others or without considering God or a higher standard. They seek to do what's right in their own eyes, not answering to God or anyone else. So when we come bearing the gospel message, many times we'll be turned away. Many times we'll face people that stop up their ears, many people that may give us the time of day, but they won't change. But still we must speak. And as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, he gives us an amazing example here by stating that to the weak I have become weak, and I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He strived by all means to save some. One thing that we must know from this is that we cannot save everyone. But from Paul's statement, we can see his example and do everything that is in our power that we can to try and save someone. And we should not be discouraged when we are not listened to. Saddened that a soul remains lost, yes. But we must never halt our efforts in teaching the Word of God, but remain bold and continue to teach. Sometimes we plant the seed. Sometimes we water where we haven't planted. And sometimes we must be content with just planting the seed. Because sometimes that's all the time and the day that they'll give us. But prayerful that perhaps someone will come along and water what has been planted. But we need this boldness because, like those of the first century who preached the gospel, we will face resistance. Consider Peter and John in Acts 4 and 5. In Acts chapter 4 and in chapter 5, we see Peter and John were arrested twice and were told not to teach Jesus anymore. And this was the length that they were willing to go to in the first century to silence the truth. Let's read Acts chapter 4, verses 18 and 20. Acts chapter 4, 18, 19, and 20. Here the passage reads, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And then over in chapter 5, where we read verses 27 to 32. When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered, by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to be the right hand, to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. We see the response here the apostles made. They cannot but speak the things that they have heard and seen. And they were to obey God rather than men. They recognized the command, and being that it was from God, they would not so easily disregard it. The things that they had heard and seen, they fully believed. And they sought that others were to believe the same things that they believed. And that's what our task is. To bring others to believe that which we believe. And we must have the boldness to speak it. As Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. As Paul is about to close his letter to young Timothy, he tells him, he gives him encouragement. He charges him, is verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Just as Paul tells Timothy here, we must be ready to speak no matter what. No matter how favored the gospel is, no matter what is being listened to out in this world, we must be always ready and willing to preach the gospel and be bold enough to speak it, regardless of what the world thinks of it. So we see the great need we have for boldness, but how do we gain boldness? Boldness, I believe, is a byproduct of deep faith. Let's look at Peter's example. From Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 5, we see Peter was busy after the Holy Spirit came upon him and the rest of the apostles. We see in Acts 2 how he preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, just after receiving the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 souls were saved on that day. Then in Acts chapter 3, he preached again after healing the lame man, and then 5,000 souls were saved. And as we mentioned earlier, in Acts 4 and 5, after being arrested, he defended what he stood for. And even being told that he cannot speak the name of Jesus anymore, he told them, I'm going to still speak it. I must obey God rather than men. I cannot but speak the things I believe and have seen and have heard. And Peter must have had a great deal of faith to be so bold, to teach in such a way and to stand up in the faces of those who tried to silence him. We see how much change had occurred, how deep Peter's faith grew between his denial in Matthew 26 and now. Remember, he denied Christ 3 times, and now we see how different he is. His faith is deeper than ever, and therefore his boldness is higher than ever. And if we wish to be so bold, we must seek to deepen our faith in whom we believe. Deepening our faith is a journey that never ends, not until the day that faith becomes sight. Boldness also comes through the studying and understanding of the Scripture. What better way to become bold and even to grow a deeper faith than to study the Word of God? The wise writer encourages us to get wisdom and understanding as we read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Here he writes, Proverbs 4, 5 through 7, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And then again, in chapter 18 and verse 15, he would tell us how the wise seek knowledge. Proverbs 18:15, the wise writer says, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. And the psalmist, in the first psalm, verse 2, would also tell us, there is blessing in meditating on the word of God. There's blessing in that. Psalm 1, verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. There is much to be gained from within the Word of God. Having a proper knowledge and understanding of God's Word will give us the boldness that we need to be able to speak about it to others. We're also told by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we are to be ready. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15, he tells us, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." We're to be ready to give a defense. We can only do that by studying and having a proper knowledge. We have to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. We can only do that by studying and taking what we have studied and making that personal, applying it to our lives. Taking the proper time that we need to study, understand, and apply will give us the boldness that we need to be able to speak about it to others, because then we will not be anything but bold when we know and when we believe. And boldness also comes through prayer and encouragement. Even with deep faith and proper understanding, we can still succumb to those feelings of fear, where we doubt that the person that we wish to speak to will even listen to us. And we let opportunities slip by, but we can always pray about it. Even the apostles need prayers for boldness. Just after the arrest in Acts chapter 4, we read verses 29 to 31. Acts chapter 4, 29 through 31. There's a prayer that is lifted up to God. And in this, we see, "Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And it says when they prayed that prayer, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And Paul also would write in his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, as he closes his letter to them, he tells them to be praying always, to offer supplication in the Spirit. In verse 19, he says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." See, even the most active speakers of the Christ in the first century needed prayers for boldness. And we should realize how much we need it too. These were those that saw Christ, those that witnessed his greatness, the things that he did, and they still needed boldness too. And we live in a time where we didn't get to see those things, but we still believe. So we need the boldness all the more. And we need to pray for each other, but also be there for one another, to encourage one another. Consider Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. The wise writer says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fail, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Like we discussed before, we face resistance. Some will not listen. And these things can be discouraging. That's why, as speakers of Christ today, we must be there for one another, to lift each other up when the world rejects us, and that we may continue to be bold and to gain boldness all the more to speak the Christ that we believe to all the world around us. The boldness must not be alone. While boldness is an attribute that we all should strive for, there is a right way and a wrong way to have boldness. And it depends on traits complementary to boldness. If boldness is alone, it can lead to carelessness. We all probably know someone who's bold yet careless. Someone who speaks their mind, as they say, and who said whatever they very well please without any regard to how what they say or how they say it affects another person. They can be condescending, they can be pedantic, they can be harsh, insulting, loud, have an obsessive need to be right about everything, or disregard feelings of others and what they have to say. But this is not the way that we are to speak. When God tells us through his scriptures that we are to have boldness, boldness is not meant to be careless. But does this sound like anything that we should be when we speak to others the word of God? These things must not be so among us. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Here in this passage he tells us, I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Jesus himself said that these careless and idle words are taken into account in judgment. Albert Barnes describes an idle word in this passage as a vain, thoughtless, useless word. A word that accomplishes no good. And what better description than that? Teaching the gospel is supposed to be an uplifting and encouraging experience for those to whom we speak. Yet how can this be accomplished if the language we use is of such nature? Paul exhorts us in Colossians 4, verse 6. He tells us here, Colossians 4, verse 6, that our speech ought to be graceful. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. How we ought to answer each one can be taken two different ways. First, regarding the answer that we give. We must consider, is it correct? Is it encouraging? Is it helpful? Secondly, literally, how we answer. If our speech is graceful, then we should never resort to careless language or attitudes. But instead, boldness must be paired with love. When Paul was speaking of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, he takes a break from speaking of gifts themselves in chapter 13, and he speaks about love. Paul takes the time to remind the Corinthians of what true love is. And why does he do this? We read in verses 1 through 3 of 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding, all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. If love does not exist, then all we are doing is making worthless noise. There is no profit to be gained either way if when we speak boldly, we have no love for the person we're speaking to. Boldness without love is nothing. And boldness must be paired with gentleness, just as we read a moment ago in Colossians 4, verse 6. Not just what we say, but how we say it matters. That's why Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, to be gentle to all when he teaches. Verse 24 and 25, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. When we teach, we're to be gentle, we're to be patient, we're to be humble. We're not to bring ourselves to be quarrelsome, but humbly correct those that live lives in sin. There will be those in the world that we speak to that will test us, that will test our patience. bring us to want to engage in arguments, tempt us to resort to careless language. But this must not be so. But while we boldly teach, we must maintain our gentle spirit, because boldness without gentleness is careless. And boldness must be paired with exemplary living. Because what point is there in teaching someone who doesn't practice the things that they teach? What point is there listening to someone who doesn't practice what they teach? Paul recognized this and sought to always do what was pleasing to God and in accordance with his will. Consider what he states in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 27, it tells us here, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul sought to have total control over every aspect of his being, that he may continue to be a good example to others, and that he may not become someone who teaches one thing and does another thing. And if we are bold enough to speak it, we must be equally bold to practice it. Because boldness without exemplary living is hypocrisy. And with boldness, we must also come these three things: that love, that gentleness, and exemplary living. And this is the proper boldness that we are to have. We must recognize also what it would mean if proper boldness did not exist. What would it mean for us as Christians if we will not stand up for our beliefs? What it would mean if we do not teach others the Word of God? If proper boldness is lacking, then the church will not grow. Again, let's look at the early church and at Peter's example. We looked earlier, Acts 2 and 3. We considered how between these two chapters, 8,000 souls listened to Peter and were saved. But what if Peter was silent that day? What if he was not bold enough to teach the word that day? Think about the negative impact it would have had. Think about how these 8,000 souls would still be lost. How the church wouldn't have grown at all. Also, Stephen, after his martyrdom and Saul's persecution of the church in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Here in these passages, we see that although something negative was happening after the death of Stephen and the persecution of the church, one good thing that came from this was the spread of the gospel. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, it tells us, Saul was consenting to his death, and at the time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. We see that although persecuted and scattered, those in the church continued to preach the word, continued to teach others about Jesus. But they lacked the boldness to do so in the face of all that was happening. Think of how much more the church would have been negatively impacted then, being both scattered and its growth halted. Think about ourselves today. How would it have affected us if those who taught us individually about Christ did not do so? And where would we be today? On top of this, sin would reign all the more. And frankly, the world is on a dark path already. It always has been. The world in the time of Noah grew so dark in Genesis chapter 6 that in verses 5 and 6, God saw fit to wipe the earth clean of all life, save righteous Noah and his family. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to this world. Isaiah 5, verse 20 tells us, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That is exactly what goes on in this world today. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. both of these concepts being subjective to individuals rather than objective. And this is not how things should be. That this is what dominates the worldly and those without God. And it will be a lot worse if none can stand up for what they believe in or for what is right. It will be a lot worse if we do not speak to others about Christ, about their way of life. This world will only grow darker if we remain in silence. If these ever became the case again, salvation would be lost to so many. Church doesn't grow, then the number of unbelievers never diminishes and will continuously grow. And if sin reigns even more, then our way of life is threatened. Because if sin is accepted more and more, then God and His will are rejected more and more. We have been very blessed here with our freedom to meet together, to worship together, to be able to speak to others about what we believe, and to meet others in the home, to be able to study with them if we're able to. But all that can change, even in a moment's notice. So until that day comes, we must be bold. And even when that day comes, we must be all the more bold. So, brethren, let us be bold, and let us pray for and encourage each and every one of us to be bold. And let us remember that God is with us, and we should have no fear. The Hebrew writer assures us, the Hebrews 13 chapter, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. God will never abandon us. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may come boldly. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If we are all well-pleasing to Him, He will be with us. And there should be no fear of what man can do to us, because we recognize God is with us. God will strengthen our resolve in the face of dread. We can stand like those bold, like those of the first century, defending the faith and teaching those who are without Christ about who He is and what He did for each and every one of us. So we take opportunities as we can. Just as we read before in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, Paul strived by all means to save some. And this is what we should all do as Christians, as teachers of the gospel. While we cannot save everyone, we can make every effort. And so when the chariot crosses our path, like it crossed Philip's path in Acts chapter 8, don't let it escape. But be like him and be bold enough to overtake it, to seize the opportunity that arises, to run to them if we must, to pursue them at all costs. It may be their only chance of salvation. So we must be ready for that day that the chariot crosses our path. All the days of our life, we must let our light shine. Christ tells us that we are the light of the world in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. He tells us there, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We cannot allow our lights to be hidden away or diminished. If all of us did that, in the world would be at its darkest, never return to the light. Light is bold. When light appears, we all know from where it comes. When we turn our room light on in the night, when the sun rises high in the sky, and even when the moon, in all its fullness, takes over the night sky, this is what our light should be. A beacon to those who live in darkness, brightly and boldly shining. And there's a great need for boldness in the world today, and it's up to each and every one of us to be able to be bold and to stand up for what we believe in, and to be able to teach others. This world will only continue to grow darker if we cannot be bold. So let us all strive to gain boldness. Let's do what we need to do, both for ourselves and for each other, that we may be bold before the world and be the light that extinguishes the darkness from the lives of others. Each and every day of life is another opportunity given to us by God to teach others. You look at 2 Peter 3. He preserves this world until that day, the day that comes like a thief in the night. And he does this because of those that are in the world. He does this so that we can save, we can bring others, bring as many to salvation as we can. Because he does not want a single soul to be condemned in that day. So brethren, as we go out into the world, let's be the lights that we need to be. Let's boldly shine to them. And let's never be ashamed of the God that we have. Let's consider these things as we sing the invitation song.
I'm not ashamed to hold my Lord, nor bend his call, maintaining honor of his word, the glory of his cross. Firm as his throne, his promise stand, and he can well secure. Solemn, born for me.